Calmed adventurers, and welcome to the Audio Armory, an exploration of weaponry through the ages. I am your local bard, Emily Cardamus.
And I'm your local blacksmith, Liz Belts.
How's it going, Liz?
It's actually going pretty good. The sun's out. I know what daylight is, and also vitamin D.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
Sorry we missed last week, dear listeners. Liz was dying.
Yeah, my bad.
And so because of that, you're going to get an episode this week, and you're going to get an episode next week. What? That's crazy.
Whoop.
That's the world we live in. It's this crazy scheduled world.
Yeah, which really isn't a schedule. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes throws some things in there.
That's true. And see what happens.
Yeah.
So, Liz, why don't you tell us what we're talking about this week?
Well, this week I figured we'd continue on with India and talk about pole arms, because I kind of wanted to throw it in with last week's, but there was a lot.
There were many swords, so pole arms gets its own episode.
Exactly. They get their own special little place.
Mm-hmm. But right up there next to the fifth grade mathlete trophy. I don't have one of those.
If I did, I would put my
Indian pole arm next to it.
I have a track.
There you go.
I did do track.
Oh my gosh, what'd you do?
Hurdles, long jump, and
javelin.
No, we didn't have javelin.
See,
trust me, if we did, I would have been all over.
That would have been a beautiful segue to be like, oh, javelin, and you put your pole arm. Anyway, why don't you get us started on Indian pole arms?
Okie doke. So going with Indian pole arms, they were actually used long after Europe had stopped using them, which was around the early 17th century. But actually, up until the 19th century, Indians were still carrying weapons like lances, spears, javelins, battle axes, and my favorite, the trident.
Sure.
Because all I could think about, well, I'll get to that later. I'll give you guys that visual.
Why stab someone once when you can stab them three times?
Exactly. Because it's mwah. Mwah. But the lance was their primarily used weapon, used by Mughal cavalry, which we kind of brought up in the last
episode. Yeah, we talked about last episode.
And it was actually a very surprisingly effective weapon during combat. The handle or the shaft was actually made out of a solid heavy wood, which gave it considerable power and momentum when using it as like a strike, because it was mainly a stabbing weapon or a thrusting weapon in comparison to like winging it. And to prevent, they had a neat little feature with these, which actually kind of carried on through a couple of their pole arms, but to prevent the lance from going completely through an enemy, a lot of these weapons had a sphere that was either towards the middle or the base of the spiked steel point.
Kind of like a counterweight, sounds like?
Sort of. It acted as that, but its main purpose was to actually be for easier removal from the body, because it would stop at the ball versus going completely through. I mean, I know, isn't it pleasant?
You gotta retrieve your weapon, I suppose, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, because you don't want like half your spear going right through the dude. You want it to just be like, all right, this is effective and we're gonna keep going.
Well, I mean, that's the trope that we see in a lot of like, you know, like medieval fantasy is like, oh, someone stabs someone and then their sword or whatever spear gets stuck.
And yeah, it goes like right through, and then it's just like, oh,
it's like, oh, it's comedic, or you know, it depends. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like most of the time it's played for comedy.
Yeah, because it's over the top, and you're just sitting there like, what?
Yeah,
no.
It's like, oh, this wouldn't happen, you know.
It would.
It would
have. In complete length, these lances were varied between 6 to 7 feet long, and that included the, on average, they're about 1.5 feet long steel points.
That's one Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
They're one Shaquille O'Neal tall.
Exactly. You have one tossable Shaq. if so desired.
Please don't throw Shaq.
Please don't throw Shaq.
That's not very nice. He's a nice man.
Hashtag please don't throw Shaq.
Hashtag please don't throw Shaq.
Oh, goodness. But what I found interesting, I ended up asking myself this question, was, like, how was the ball formed as part of the blade? Because, I mean, it's a perfect sphere, basically.
Right.
And you have this very narrow point, like, needle, basically. And you're sitting there, it's like, well, how the hell do you, how do you form that? How could you form that?
Magic.
Exactly. You summoned your local wizard, they ate a chameleon and then farted out a lance.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very colorful image you just painted there.
I know. Isn't it colorful? Like a chameleon.
Welcome to Audio Armor.
Huh? Huh?
No, I gotcha. I gotcha, SPM.
Basically, what I came to the conclusion of, because, alas, India has kept their secrets away from me on the interweb.
Right.
That's
why you go to your local library, folks.
Well, my library kind of sucks.
Yeah, if your library has the adequate information. Unfortunately,
most don't.
A lot don't. So,
which is sad.
It is.
But the way I assumed how it was made was they were most likely cast iron. So they probably had some sort of like a sand mold that they repeatedly used and then poured molten iron into it and then just did the detailing after it was cooled.
That makes sense.
I mean, that's the only thing I could feasibly think of getting, like, such a strange shape and being able to just have so many of them.
Yeah. I mean, mass production, you know, basically implies a mold of some sort.
Yeah. And because these were a very common weapon, and these spheres on pole arms in general were very common, the only thing I could think of is they were probably, if the spheres weren't casted themselves and just attached somehow, it was all just one casted piece. But I suppose that kind of depends on the smith and also the materials they had on hand. But that was my kind of piecing things together, since the internet couldn't tell me.
Right, context clues.
Yeah. But much like the lance, spears also tended to have these spheres, like I had mentioned.
Spears had these spheres?
Yeah, you know how many times I wrote spheres instead of spears when
these
I was typing this
up?
Spears
have spheres, guys.
Like, it was my brain. I was like, spear, 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 spear.
Say that 5 times fast.
Or don't.
Don't. Please don't.
Or don't if you want to keep your sanity.
Yeah.
But these spears actually came in about, most commonly came in 3 different kinds of styles. The first one resembled more of a European pike, which was, again, just imagine a needle.
Okay.
But the ball could actually be found closer to the base of the blade versus more in the middle, like the javelin was. Typically, these were used in mass infantry formations, and used in a thrusting motion, like most pole arms.
Big stabby stick.
Yeah, big stabby stick. And like the lance, it had a heavy wooden shaft to keep the momentum going, making it extremely easy to pierce right through armor.
Right.
Because during this time, there was some chainmail, but a lot of it was actually just layers of leather.
Okay.
And other fabrics. Mainly because, I mean, heat is
it's
a
hot.
Concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to overheat.
You want to bake to death, or...
Exactly. Like, do you want to grill yourself on chainmail, or... another version of the spear, though, that they had was actually a double-edged triangular shape.
Okay.
So envision basically like your little cursor on your computer.
Right. It's like a bayonet.
Yeah, like your tip, like when you envision a spear, imagine your typical spear shape. Except this one was a little more elongated.
Okay,
I guess.
Okay. So not like a bayonet. Okay.
More. Is it isosceles that have the two and then the one?
Yes.
Yes. I remember math. Yay, geometry.
You get a gold star.
Ding. Yeah. But because this weapon in particular was so sharp, this could basically pierce through armor like a hot knife in cold butter.
Wow.
Yeah, it was extremely sharp.
What about a hot knife in hot butter?
Well, then it just disintegrates, like, yeah, whatever it touches. Yeah. Just like, which, I mean, that would be impressive if, you know, a weapon can just be like, here, poke, and then it just disintegrates.
I was trying to think of a good joke, but all I could think of was the gelatinous cubes from Dungeons & Dragons.
Ah, yes.
When you stab them, they just eat your spear.
They're just like, meow.
Yeah, and then they eat you, and then you die.
And then it's sad.
Mm-hmm. And you have to roll like a new character. You're like, aw, bye, Thornator. The
Thornator?
I don't know. I never said I was good at thinking of names on the fly.
I'm just imagining Thor in the Terminator doing mm-hmm. the fusion dance from Dragon Ball Z.
Did I ever tell you about the time I played a role-playing... It wasn't Dungeons & Dragons, it was just a role-playing game. It was like a horror game. We're going off topic, I'm sorry, but this is an important story.
Yes.
But I played like a cool original character that was super fun to play, and one of the other people in my group played literally Vin Diesel, and it was amazing.
Yes.
And I think he was specifically Vin Diesel in costume as Riddick. But Vin Diesel. It wasn't Riddick, it was Vin Diesel in costume.
Anyway. Vin Diesel as Riddick.
No, he wasn't even pretending. He wasn't even, like, acting as Riddick. He was just Vin Diesel in costume.
Oh my God.
It was the best thing ever. Anyway, back to spears in India.
Yes, back to Indian spears. Mm-hmm. On these spears in particular, because of its wider shape, it didn't pierce nearly as far as the lance or the previous spear we spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
So the balls on this weapon were actually just decorative. They were further down on the shaft, basically towards the top of it and towards the base, so that, you know, when you're spinning it or thrusting it, you wouldn't lose it, like, out of your hands, no matter how crazy you went into the flailing.
Before we get any tweets, if you are listening to this and you've opened up Twitter, I know, okay? I know.
What?
You said, like, balls and shaft and all that. And, like, saying, like...
Ah!
Like,
yes,
I know.
I completely was just like...
Yeah, no. It's okay. You don't... No one has to tell us.
Insert
put Twitter away.
Twitter?
Put it away!
Just put it down!
Don't delete that tweet.
No.
Yeah, good.
That one, too.
Don't even think about that other
acceptable.
One.
No, the third one.
Don't add both of us. Don't do that.
Yeah, just at Audio Armory. Come on, guys. We go through this every episode. The last spear I'll mention is a trefoil shaped blade. Now, this kind of harkens back to some earlier episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The trefoil, if you don't remember, is
they're delicious
kind of...
Girl Scout cookies. They're the shortbread ones.
This is true, but no, it's not nearly as delicious.
Come on,
actually,
yes,
it's quite
and
deadly.
Me. Go back to improv school.
I love that you're just, like, screaming in the distance. Improv school.
Anyway, I derailed the conversation. Trefoils.
Yes.
Or trefoils is probably what you're supposed to
however
say.
However you say it.
You're supposed to say it trefoil. Trefoils are the Girl Scout cookies.
Trefoils. Anyway. The trefoils were the triangular-shaped blades. So they were basically envision your standard flat blade.
I'm envisioning it. It's beautiful.
In the middle, going down the center of it, mm-hmm. would be like a raised area where it would just basically make it like a pinched triangle.
Okay.
That's the best way I can describe it. I believe that was actually covered when we did short swords.
Mm.
Because I'm pretty sure it was a French short sword.
Trefoil is French, so.
Yeah. So there we go.
And
I remember.
They're obsessed with those things for some reason. I don't know, France. What's your deal?
France has to be different, and they have to be fancy. For the
aesthetic? Huh?
France! And your snails! Though it lost its effectiveness around the 19th century, due to mainly because, you know, muskets and artillery fire were...
Guns were invented.
Yeah.
Well, not invented. Like, they've been invented for a while, but...
They were introduced
into the area.
Yeah. Though they were primarily used by enemy forces, so, like, anybody, like, in the European area, basically. This weapon actually still managed to do an immense amount of damage when they were in close quarters.
Right.
So, India actually ended up using pole arms and bladed weapons for quite some time.
It's like that. It's like that myth. Like, you've heard that myth of, like, if you're standing so many feet from someone and one person has a knife and one person has a gun, like, you'll be able to run up and stab them before they can pull a gun out and shoot you.
Yeah. Yeah, I have heard that, but I'm not... That depends on how good they are with a gun.
Well, no, but I'm saying that's, like, that feels like a little bit like, oh, we're gonna keep using spears and stuff and bladed weapons because, I mean, like, you can shoot us from far away, maybe, because back then guns didn't have good aim or rifling.
Yeah, I was about to say, muskets kind of sucked.
Yeah, we didn't have rifling. but, like, you get really up close, what's gonna win? A gun that can't aim good...
And takes forever to load.
Or a big ol' sharp stick.
Big ol' sharp stick for the win.
Big ol' sharp stick, one. Gun that can't aim good, zero.
Ding. Better keep score, people. Right. This is important.
This is gonna be an ongoing joke that will carry throughout many episodes.
Yep. Forever. For the rest of time.
Until next week when we forget about it.
Shh. They don't know that yet.
They do now.
Not if you cut it out.
I won't. I'm going to leave this part in.
No! Why would you betray me?
Because I'm chaotic.
Darn
good.
You. This spear had no sphere shapes attached to it, but actually had a socket just below the steel piece that allowed it to be removed for easy repair.
Oh, cool.
Which I thought was actually really neat, because not only could you
trade out... Yeah, it's like replaceable parts.
Yeah, it's like not only could you trade out the shaft part of it, but you could sharpen the blade of it easier than having to, like, awkwardly maneuver the 7-foot-long stick.
Right, right.
While trying to grind it down, which would be a pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a...
But the one thing all of these spears had in common was the fact that almost always the shafts were intricately designed. Whether it was meticulously painted on or had engraved metal ornamentation on it. Most of it was like a floral pattern, tends to be like a consistent geometric kind of thing. They didn't really depict animals, creatures, or people too much, from what I came across at least. Majority of the design work was floral or geometrical, at least for the pole arms. Because they did have the monster heads on some swords, as we mentioned
last... Right, as
last...
we talked about it last week, or last episode.
Yeah. However, javelins were also commonly used by cavalry, and they were super effective against masses of foot soldiers in battle. So the point is actually a narrow, long piece that kind of blends into the casted part of the shaft, giving it a total length of about 7 feet. So most of these weapons are in this shack range, not so much less.
An official measurement. Please call whoever officiates measurements, but a shack is now a real unit of measurement.
Yes. As soon as we start using it, it just becomes official.
Feel free to use it in your own life.
It's exactly one shack. I'm about...
Wait, now I need to know how tall Shaq is. How tall is Shaq? Yeah, thank you. He's 7'1".
Oh, nice!
Hey!
This has been Emily's trip through Google.
For the important information, like how tall is Shaq? Anyway, so you've talked, we've talked about spears and we've talked about javelins.
Yes. And then we have two other weapons that are kind of different. We have battle axes, which were another standard weapon.
It doesn't sound like a pole arm.
They tended to have, like, a longer shaft.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was a solid casted kind mm-hmm. of thing, or sometimes it was, like, a tubing, just to make it lighter in weight, since the head of the axe was, like, ridiculous.
Right.
The shape of the axe head, though, actually had, a like, a crescent shape on the one side, which could easily cleave through flesh and bone, while the other side of it actually had these kind of curled hooks that were kind of design-oriented.
Yeah, yeah. Now I can picture it, like, exactly. I've seen this sort of thing before.
Yeah, and again, like, in some of the swords that we've talked about before, these hooks were used to both deflect blows and catch enemy weapons.
Oh, okay.
And, like, maneuver it.
Right. You could, like, disarm someone by, like, hooking their sword through the little loopy doop and then move, you know, like,
yeah, and then just, like, pull it out of their hands or something. Yeah. By the 19th century, these weapons were actually solely ceremonial. Okay. And most of them were returned to the palace armories of both Hindu and Muslim princesses. Not princesses. I mean, maybe there were some princesses. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know that. So
I like how I really do like how we're like, we're not gonna use these anymore. I guess we'll just put them back.
Like, yeah, it's like, well, yeah, we'll just
stick. You can have these back now. Like,
yeah, we told you we were just borrowing them. Jeez,
it's a loan. It was a loan. You can have it back.
It was a several centrally long loan. Mm-hmm. You know, like any school loan,
right?
Topical.
Good job.
Yeah. But last but not least, of course, mm-hmm. we have one of the most interesting pole arms. This was the trident.
Aquaman's weapon of choice.
Yes, I was holding off on the Aquaman thing because Aquaman.
Hey.
Now, the reason why the trident was actually a strangely popular weapon was because it had great religious significance to the Hindu faith.
Oh.
This weapon was favored by the Lord Shiva. Shiva. Okay, Shiva. I got it right the first time. Yeah. As you all know, I am bad at pronouncing things because I only ever read it and can never actually say it.
It's the difference between I've read this word in my head versus I've said this word out loud.
Yeah, so pardon me for constantly messing up pronunciations of things. Mm-hmm. This god, though, was known as the Destroyer and was presumed to give the user of the trident strength and guidance during battle.
Cool.
So it was very much a oneness with their god sort of thing.
I would like to use a weapon like that promises that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can understand why it would be popular.
Yeah. Its most effective use, which was really interesting, was actually removing horsemen from the horses.
Oh, so they'd like hook. Okay, yeah.
They would, like, hook their armor and basically, like, throw them off.
Nope.
Just it's like, how about no? And then proceed to finish them off.
Right.
With the outer elongated spikes. So, describing how this trident is, because it's a little different than probably what you're envisioning. Mm-hmm. The center prong was actually usually a flat teardrop-like shape, while the outsides, because there were three different prongs, the two outside ones were long and thin needle-like points. This shape actually allowed the user to smoothly catch an opponent's blade between the prongs and then lock it down and either disarm them or just simply pin them. But yeah, welcome to our little trip through India and pole arms.
There you go. That was very informative and horrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I have a newfound love for weapons of India.
And on that note, do you also have a blacksmith's tip of the week?
Yes. Which, you know this story. But I'm going to make sure everybody else does.
Oh, Christ.
Advice from your local blacksmith? I'm going to leave it simply at first. Don't mess with other people's music. Now, you might be asking, well, okay.
Liz, why do you want to tell this story?
Because people should know.
Oh, Christ.
People should know. I'm not going to give names or anything, obviously. If you're in a space working with somebody else and you share music or whatever, no matter how close you think you are and joke around and stuff, do not mess with their music. For the love of all that is holy, do not do it. Even if you're joking, even if it's just a fun hearty har, I just turned this off because fools on you and junk. No. Don't do it.
Jokes don't count when it comes to music.
No. Music ain't no joke.
And now you know.
Music is life. The wisdom. Because in the long run, you might be sent into a panic attack because you're ignored for a whole week. And then you think a lot of bad things happen when they didn't actually happen. But because you have anxiety, your mind races into the darkest of places. So, do not mess with people's music.
That's
the short of it.
The more you know. Audio Armory says, don't touch other people's music. That's a little too long for The More You Know, but...
Yeah. We'll work on that. Yeah. We'll get back to you guys.
We got it. We'll streamline it. We'll get to the don't do a hit part of it at some point.
We missed 420!
We did. Happy belated 420. Hashtag
happy belated weed day, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed some, if that's your thing. And if it's not your thing, I hope you didn't enjoy some. I don't know.
Whatever makes you happy.
You do you, man. Like, just live your life. That's my tiny tip of the week. Just live your life.
Dang.
And on that note, I would like to thank Samantha Hogan for our intro and outro music. You can find her work at SamanthaHogan.com, and her Twitter is at @shogan_composer. You can find us on Twitter. The show Twitter is at @AudioArmoryCast. I am at @CorruptedGem. Liz is at @LizBelts. That's Liz with two Z's. If you have questions, comments, concerns, you know, you can tweet at us. You can email us, audioarmorycast@gmail.com. Our next episode will be next week because we kind of had to move the schedule around, so we're going to try to get back on track. And then we'll be every 2 weeks again. But this is like an extra double episode thing. And what else? Oh, if for some reason, like, you're listening to this on Thursday, the 27th. What's Thursday? 27th? If for some reason you're listening to this on Thursday the 27th, the day it comes out, and you are going to be going to the Columbus Podcast Festival, I'll be there. Liz won't. But I'll be there. So you can say hi, and that would be cool. I don't think that would happen, but, like, just in case.
Go say hi. Go track her down and be like, hey, I listen to your thing.
That would be very cool of you.
And tell her how cool she is.
Aww. Tell me how cool Liz is, and then I'll tell her how cool she is. That you said she's cool.
Cause you're cool.
Yeah.
If you listeners. Listen to this,
you're cool. Cool. I don't know. I can't even be like, oh, we wearing this. I'll be the weird art goblin. Don't worry about it. You'll find me.
Look for the short art look goblin.
Look for the short art goblin awkwardly handing out buttons to people because I don't know how to interact with strangers normally, so I make gifts for them.
Find like the button queen.
Like some weird, like, fae, like, like, creature. I don't know. Yeah. That's all. Liz, do you have anything to add?
No, I am good.
All right. So, until next time, I have been and always will be your illustrious bard, Emily Cardamus.
And I will forever and always be your local blacksmith, Liz Belts.
And don't throw rocks at birds.
Also, use shack as a unit of measurement.
Don't throw shack, though.
Yeah, don't... Hashtag don't throw shack. #DontThrowRocksAtHer.